Today on Seculo, the House GOP has asked the FBI for a briefing on Eric Swalwell's relationship with the Chinese spy.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
I've got the letter in my hands. It includes the ranking member of the House Intelligence and Homeland Security Committee. And it's a letter to the FBI Director, Christopher Wray. It says, our nation faces a growing security threat from the Chinese Communist Party's attempts to infiltrate and undermine the United States government. We write to request a full briefing regarding counterintelligence threats to members of Congress, including information related to Representative Eric Swalwell's ties to a suspected Chinese intelligence operative. Now, we know that Kevin McCarthy has received this briefing and that Nancy Pelosi received the briefing. We know that after Nancy Pelosi received the briefing, she didn't really talk about Eric Swalwell being no big deal about this anymore. She did allow him to become a House impeachment manager, did put it back on the Homeland Security Committee, but she's kind of stopped defending that relationship. And McCarthy said it was really problematic. He was shocked what was there. Well, these members of Congress now are saying, well, one, we want to know more about Swalwell since he's getting classified information. But two, we also need to all be protected as well. We need to know who's in our offices, who are you watching, so that this isn't repeated. Not that people are going to have the personal relationship that he had, but who's got, again, these contacts, whether it's an intern or an intern that's placed inside the office by one of these individuals. They want to know. They want to get out ahead of this. So I think Christopher Wray is going to have to do this briefing, and a lot more members of Congress are going to know about what Eric Swalwell was doing with this known Chinese spy who fled the country.
I don't see any way in which the FBI cannot meet with the heads of the committee, the ranking members of these committees, to make sure, to make very sure that, in fact, this activity is being handled, but also that it's not going ongoing or even in their offices. Now, we have set forth, because we're concerned about this, we've set forth a Freedom of Information Act request to get more information about this. I suspect we're going to get stonewalled on that, and we will end up going to court. But then the reality is that this is something that's ongoing literally as we speak. We don't know the scope and nature of this yet. Of course, Eric Swalwell, interestingly, a month ago was an impeachment manager.
Well, we know a couple of things, Jay. We know that members of the intelligence community, as well as members of the United States House, knew about this compromise situation for Eric Swalwell long ago, Jay, and yet did not remove him off these committees of jurisdiction. And let me just say a quick word about this. Look, it's important for every member of Congress to not be compromised by foreign entities. But when you're talking about the Intelligence Committee and the Homeland Security Committee, the importance of not being compromised rises to another level. So that's why previously we saw the members of the House Intelligence Committee express concern about, you know, is there more compromise inside our committee? Clearly, Eric Swalwell kept this from us for a long time, and now the members of the Homeland Security Committee are doing the same. Jay, what we want to know is on the other side of the ledger, in the executive branch, at the FBI, yep. Who knew about it on that end, and why didn't they tell the members of this committee, and why did Speaker Pelosi leave Eric Swalwell on these committees?
Harry Hutchinson is our director of policy. I know we're about to go to a break, but Harry, this issue of China, Secretary Pompeo, our senior counsel for global affairs, said they are a serious, serious threat, China.
I think that's precisely correct. For the past 30 years, Jay, at least since the Clinton administration, the United States and the American people have faced growing threats from Chinese spies, and China has increasingly sought to dominate the world militarily and economically, and they've tried to infiltrate everything from schools to Congress.
Boy, the school issue, you know, caught a lot of people by surprise when Secretary Pompeo said that, Jordan, last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Monday,
you've got
week.
These Confucius Institutes, which are, it's run by the Chinese government, partnerships where they fund universities in the United States and colleges in the United States. And it's going, you know, it's increasingly, it starts at that level and it works its way on down through the education system, because a lot of those institutions of higher learning then partner with schools, kid K through 12, and they start doing programs together. So you see this move to become a superpower, but also the question, how did Eric Swalwell get reappointed to the Homeland Security Committee? We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So members of Congress are saying, listen, Kevin McCarthy, the GOP leader in the House, and Nancy Pelosi received this briefing back in December. Kevin McCarthy said, no way would you put Eric Swalwell back on the Homeland Security Committee after receiving the same briefing that Nancy Pelosi did. They received it together. But now the ranking members of the Committee on the Judiciary and the House Committee on Homeland Security, which Swalwell is on, so the Republican members are saying, along with their colleagues, we need this briefing. We need to know why, one, what happened with Eric Swalwell and this Chinese spy. I mean, this is undisputed now in the public record. Two, why is Eric Swalwell back on the Homeland Security Committee? And should he be on the committee, which I think we all know the answer is no. And that's what Kevin McCarthy said, is that after the briefing, there's no way you would put someone like this on. They've been totally compromised. But then three, again, which is, what is happening inside Congress? What is the Chinese Communist Party doing inside the U.S. Congress? And have they infiltrated or suspected to infiltrate other areas that we need to be aware of as members of Congress? So what do we need to be on the lookout for? And so I think there's no way the FBI gets around this. They already briefed the GOP leaders and Speaker of the House. These are all people with security clearances. They're going to have to brief them too. But it also is going to shed more light on Swalwell and the Democrats' decision to continue to place him in a position where he has access to the nation's most classified information.
So our first lawsuit of the year is a lawsuit that we have filed on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice, which means all of you, our members, against the United States National Security Agency, the NSA, the Director of National Intelligence, and the Department of State. The irony, of course, is the former Director of the National Intelligence and the former head of the State Department, Secretary of State, are both affiliated with the ACLJ. Secretary Pompeo, our senior counsel for foreign global affairs, and Rick Grenell is our senior advisor and special advisor on international matters and national security. So that's the first lawsuit that we filed of the year. The second one is about to start, which is we're getting a Freedom of Information Act out on the Iran issue. We'll keep that separate for now. It just tells me that at the beginning of the year here, foreign policy seems to be at the forefront of what we're going to be dealing with in the months ahead. This year. There doesn't seem to be much doubt about that.
Specifically China. I think that there's been this renewed focus on what China is doing. So I think, you know, for so long we've been focused on Islamic terror as a threat because it was a threat that was, in the sense you could see it, the violence, the terror attacks, the threat of terror attacks, or the threat of physical harm, bodily harm, to citizens, to individuals, to our American forces overseas. And that threat is still there. There's still Islamic radicalism, but for the most, you know, it's been taken out. Certainly been, it's a few pegs down on the scope of what is the major threat to the U.S. You talk to all of these guys. You talk to Pompeo. You talk to Grinnell. And Secretary Pompeo will be joining us later on the broadcast today as our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Than, it just seems like in Washington, D.C., at least on the Republicans are talking about it, but I think that the Democrats know. They just don't want to acknowledge, especially the Biden family, who has profited so much from the Chinese government, that China, it's not Russia, it's not even necessarily Iran that's the number one threat to the U.S. They're a threat to the region, and they are a threat. But it is China who is the number one threat, and it might not be physical violence, but it is spying, it is classified information, and of course, the economic threat they pose.
Jordan, it's abundantly clear now, based on what we know, that China is absolutely trying to infiltrate Congress. And Jordan, it's also abundantly clear that they've had at least some measure of success. Now, I think what's important to do is to find out how deep that success has been and where the penetration inside the United States Congress has been. We do know a couple of places. And look, Jordan, I don't know the answer to this, but I'm really skeptical about the motivations of Speaker Pelosi and also Chairman Schiff on the House Intel Committee on why they're not cooperating here. And here's why I'm suspicious. Most of the infiltration that we know from Christine Fang and her organization happened in the San Francisco area, happened in the California area. Jordan, that is exactly where Speaker Pelosi and Adam Schiff operate. And so, look, my question is, are they involved? Do they have vulnerability to this? And maybe is that why Eric Swalwell was not removed from these two committees? Where if there's any shadow of a doubt, Jordan, on whether or not you're compromised to a foreign actor, you should not be on these committees, period. It doesn't necessarily mean you can automatically be removed from Congress instantly, but you should not be given special access to these committees. And Speaker Pelosi can control that. And she, with her leadership team, which, by the way, included Eric Swalwell, kept him on both of these committees after she knew about it. You have to ask the question, Jordan, why did she do that?
You know, one of the things I want to get into, and I think it's important for our audience to understand, of course, we're not just talking about the issue. As I told you, we filed a federal lawsuit on this. So we're fully engaged on the issue. But there's an economic aspect. Harry mentioned this briefly. And when I was with, when we were with Secretary Pompeo on Monday's broadcast, we talked about this kind of economic warfare that the Chinese are capable of. But their engagement at the economic level, Harry, is so significant that it does pose a real threat.
Absolutely. So the United States is highly dependent on China for a number of products, including rare earth, for instance. And the Chinese are quite willing to use our dependence upon them for rare earth and some tech products.
To explain to people what rare earth actually is.
Rare earth is used largely in the tech industry. It's used in terms of the production of chips for computers. And so China's control of rare earth access could, for instance, cripple certain industries in the United States. And so what China has done quite successfully is to increase our dependence on China for essential goods and services. Meanwhile, they're trying to infiltrate the United States Congress. So, for instance, in 2014, China, along with the Congressional Black Caucus, sponsored school trips, so-called study abroad trips, to China, allegedly tied to historically black colleges. But I see this, perhaps I'm too skeptical, I see this as simply an effort to ingratiate themselves with members of the Congressional Black Caucus. And so while Democrats have been overly focused on Russia and Russia collusion, it turns out, of course, that the Democrats themselves, at least in my opinion, have likely been compromised by infiltration and dependence on China.
You know, the Chinese issue, Jordan, I think is what people need to understand. We are focusing on it like a laser beam here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Our global affiliates are, and our office in Washington is, obviously where Than is, and our teams really scattered throughout the United States are really looking at this, because the potential risk here to the stability of the United States for generations is at stake.
Well, and the problem is that so many American businesses are reliant on China, or they play a big part of their business, a big role in their business, whether it's manufacturing in China and taking that manufacturing and selling it overseas. So U.S. businesses are doing that work overseas. But it goes to the social media companies. It goes to everything. We are the movie companies that won't put out movies that have anything that the Chinese censors wouldn't like. The NBA, the fact that the NBA has like censored their players from saying anything about China.
And I was saying the movie theaters have coalesced basically around this idea that they will placate the Chinese.
Yeah, so all of the production, you won't see anything negative on China. You won't see China as the enemy. You won't see anything that would go against their main core ideology. So here we have a country which, as Secretary Pompeo has said, is in the act of genocide. Which is the same that was, everybody was calling out Sudan when it was a genocide in Darfur, and no one had a problem around the world condemning that, trying to arrest its leader. But the Chinese government leaders, they travel freely, and they are not sanctioned. Even though there is declaration of genocide that they are responsible for, they're not worried about being picked up by the International Criminal Court. They should be. That's the way China should be treated. They should be treated as a pariah on the world. They have become a world stage pariah. It's not just internal, where how they mistreat their own people, but it's not no longer just, oh, it's economically beneficial, so look the other way. There's plenty of other countries that are economically beneficial for manufacturing and other things. They are trying to supplant the United States as the world superpower. They don't care how their own people. It's a group mentality. So it's not about necessarily increasing their abilities. It's a mostly impoverished country, but at the world stage, the leadership of that country, and you're talking about leadership, you're talking about millions of people, because it's a country with over a billion people that are very wealthy, have a lot of power internationally, and are starting to flex those muscles.
Yeah,
so now we're starting to see a China that flexes its muscles internationally.
Yep.
Isn't just taking our money and buying our debt, and it's not just business. It is saying, no, we're going to be the superpower militarily. We're going to have the same weapons. We're going to have better weapons, better aircraft carriers, better fleets, better cars that we're going to create. And we're going to put this on the U.S. market as well and beat your companies.
It's interesting. We have Ray on YouTube writes, if Swalwell was a Republican, how aggressively do you think the LEP would be trying to investigate what happened? They'd bring back the ghost of Bob Mueller if it was a Republican. That's what they'd do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, if it was a Republican, Republicans probably would have already gotten rid of this. Now, they can't necessarily take them out of Congress, but they would certainly never have them on these committees. They would take them off of any committees that had any kind of intelligence, which is probably most. So they would kind of deplatform the congressman, if you will.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Back to Secular. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. In the next half hour of the broadcast, Secretary Pompeo will be joining us live. He is the ACLJ's. If you didn't catch the show on Monday, he is now joined the ACLJ as Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. So he's part of the ACLJ team along with Rick Rennell. And if you heard Rick Rennell talking about this issue, he's been very clear. And he said, listen, this is not the only person who's been compromised by China, who's got pressure on them. He can't name names, obviously, as former Director of National Intelligence. But the amount of leverage that they have over leaders in America would be shocking. And so you might think Eric Swalwell, congressman, okay, annoying congressman, kind of a troll on Twitter, so it gets more attention because he put himself out there as a presidential candidate. That was a kind of a joke, but he did that. He was a House impeachment manager the second time around. It's like asking for Republicans not to vote for an impeachment by putting him on there. But then I think there's probably a problem in the Bay Area. And it seems like in that region, in Northern California,
where they really
because Nancy Pelosi didn't have to put Eric Swalwell back on. Could have put him on lots of other committees. Didn't have to put him on the Homeland Security Committee. Could have de-escalated this. But it's the same thing with Biden. Biden saying, oh, it's just cultural that they're committing genocide against Muslims.
Yeah, which is unreal.
The thing is here, against Muslims, and they won't talk about it. To me, that's just, again, it just shows you the left, which says we're the xenophobic people. We're the problem, right? Because of a travel ban, which, by the way, they put in place again. They're putting the kids back in cages. They just don't call them cages anymore at the New York Times.
They're just detention centers.
Right. Oh, they're beautiful. They're wonderful. Now, if you read the so it's the same thing with China. They've got a population to the west that happens to be historically is Muslim, and is its own ethnic group, and they are being cleansed. In education camps. That's the definition of one of the definitions of genocide. Genocide under the UN, you don't have to be killing people. Just taking away their culture, re-education, that's genocide alone. So it doesn't have to be a Holocaust. It doesn't have to be torture in the physical sense. But in the sense, and then Joe Biden, as president, played it off. I don't know if we still have that soundbite where he says, this is just part of their culture. That's what the Xi said to him. Well, just part of our culture is that, you know, we have to have a unified China. I mean, think about that as would you say that about America? I mean, no, you would never say that as like accept that as America. Is that, well, we're all going to have to be the exact same, and that you have to be the same religion, which is no religion, and all of that.
Do we have that sound? No, okay, we're going to get it.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask Harry a question because the issue of China, and we're going to move to Iran in the second half hour of the broadcast, but the issue of China is significant. And it's not just for the United States. You were mentioning during the break that the Canadians have taken a very different tack.
Absolutely. So they're threatening to boycott, for instance, the 2022 Winter Olympics. The Canadian Parliament has issued a resolution condemning China for genocide. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, who lacks the courage to take, I think, real action, is quite willing to provide cover for China. Meanwhile, his son still has an interest in China. So it's possible that his son is continuing to profit from China. And I think it's important to note that courage requires the willingness to take action even if you have to pay a price personally, and I think Joe Biden and the Democrats have demonstrated conclusively that they are unwilling to pay that price.
It seems to me, Jordan and Than, that what's happened is the influence has gotten so great and so deep on so many different levels, economic, political, cultural, as they call it, that undoing this is going to be difficult as well. We were, you know, the previous administration with President Trump took a very aggressive and tough stance with the Chinese.
Yeah, and that upset business in America. That upset businesses in America. It upset the Democrats. It upset the left. So you're not just talking about a political change, but you're also talking about a cultural change. And instead of seeing, you know, we make this, no one has an issue of seeing Russians as an enemy, even though they're really not an enemy. I mean, they might be an adversary on issues. They're certainly spying and things like that. but they don't pose a serious military or economic threat to the U.S. They are not a powerhouse. We don't rely on them for a lot. China, on the other hand, we need to see that. The CCP, the Communist Party of China, the Chinese Communist Party, as the same way we saw the Soviet Union. And it might not be the same. It's the same kind of military interactions where you're not shooting at each other, but you're getting awfully close. Way more of a superpower, way more resources, has that disregard for its own people like the Soviet Union had, and is spending on taking the money that we're giving them and is spending it on their military, taking and what are we going to, one day we wake up and say, okay, we've created a superpower. We, the United States, let the Chinese Communist Party stay in power and economically created this problem. So we have to untangle ourselves, like you said. So we've got to do it at the business level, cultural level. And if we saw them like the Soviet Union, there would be no issue with that. The problem is people don't want to accept that.
Because made because in China is common, made in Moscow never was.
Right, exactly.
And there is an element of that, the normalcy, if you will. Than, I wanted to talk to you about the aspect up in Washington, though. Not just with Swalwell. I mean, that's one aspect of this. But this whole issue of China, how is it being perceived right now?
Well, the economic factor that you talk about, Jay, I mean, there's no doubt that it's caused members of Congress, elected officials, to be slow to come to the table on this. Look, we got to be honest about the truth. You talk about the comprehensive of the nature to undermine the United States that the Chinese government is engaged in, the theft of intellectual property, the surveillance, the infiltration of lawmakers. And then, you know, Jordan brought up the extermination of the Uyghurs, the human rights abuses. Jay, normally, if you would take another country in the world and you would put together that package of abuses, you would have bipartisan condemnation and sanctions coming down the pike galore. But you're right. The last administration, quite honestly, was the first one that took the scope of this threat seriously. And we've seen a pretty dramatic reversal. And again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but Jay, we know the infiltration of this network in the San Francisco Bay Area is very deep. We need to take a closer look at that. This is not just Eric Swalwell who's compromised. We know he's compromised. But Jay, if that's the end of the story, I would be shocked. Yeah, there are other members involved here.
But this bite from, was it Anderson Cooper and Joe Biden? Yeah, take a listen to this.
We can't. My comment to him was, and I know him well, and he knows me well. We're a two-hour conversation.
You talked about this to him.
I talked about this, too. And that's not so much refugee, but I talked about it. I said, look, you know, Chinese leaders, if you know anything about Chinese history, it has always been the time when China has been victimized by the outer world is when they haven't been unified at home. So the central, to vastly overstate it, the central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China. And he uses his rationale for the things he does based on that.
So, I mean, he's defending it. He's saying that if they're not, they get victimized.
So he genocide against Uyghurs.
Shouldn't we hope that China's being victimized as a political party right now? They're the Chinese Communist Party. Shouldn't we hope that they're being victimized, that they are being attacked, that they fall apart, that they have discord in their country, that their people rise up, that those leaders are worried about threats to their life or can't travel overseas? What are we worried about defending Chinese victimization? They're an enemy.
From the President of the United States.
Yeah, it's a rambling, troubling statement.
Saying that, oh, this is the way the Chinese are, the Chinese government is. They, you know, this is how they react. They just, you know, they just, this is how they
it's
keep their country together.
Because his family has been on the payroll. The brother, the son, and that's no speculation anymore.
Don't censor this, by the way. Listen to it.
All right, we'll be right back. Mike Pompeo will be joining us.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So Mike Pompeo will be joining us the next segment of the broadcast live, joining by phone today because he's traveling. A lot of leaders traveling. Rick Grenell also traveling because of CPAC this weekend, which is something I think we'll be talking about next week because it's the first major address by former President Trump. It is the first address publicly by former President Trump, who hasn't just been commenting. You know, he commented on Tiger Woods. That it's, you know, he's called into a couple shows, Rush Limbaugh, but has not made a substantive speech yet since leaving office.
It'll be the first one.
First one. Very friendly crowd, obviously, at CPAC. But we also, a couple of our newest additions to ACLJ are traveling or on their way to begin traveling. Both Rick Grenell and Mike Pompeo will be speaking at CPAC this weekend.
We've been talking about this China thing. I think we should take this call because I think this is the first
yeah,
call.
Yeah, Jody in New Hampshire on line one. Hey, Jody.
Hi there. First of all, I want to thank you guys so much for all you do, and I've decided to give monthly.
It's one thing
to give a one-time gift, but you guys need to make a budget.
Thank you.
So
appreciate
I want to encourage everyone. I love you guys so much. I'm so glad you have Pompeo and Grenell on. Wow, what a team.
Yep.
So my question is, I've heard on the news, we don't know if it's true, but if it is true that Swalwell tipped off his Chinese spy friend, he's got to be in big trouble for that too, right?
Well, you would think the FBI, I don't know if that's true. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about what was going on here. She's gone. I mean, it's my understanding. She's left the country. So she would be either recalled by the Chinese government or left on her own accord. But these are things you would think that the FBI, Harry, would be investigating right now.
Absolutely. And so parenthetically, we should note that even though she has left the country to the extent that she is actually engaged in spying, she can nonetheless be charged by the Department of Justice. But I think it's very, very important to look at the background and the record. One of the things that the Democrats have been consumed with is this so-called focus on the Trump administration and Russia collusion. We've heard this story since 2016, but nonetheless, the mainstream media typically has downplayed evidence, clear and unmistakable evidence, that the Democrats have been compromised, if not infiltrated, by China. And so I think it is very, very rich to look at Mr. Swalwell and his activity. He's accused the president, President Trump, of incitement. He's accused then-President Trump of being a Russian asset, when the evidence, I think, clearly gives rise to the following inference, that Swalwell may indeed have been a Chinese agent himself. And so I wonder if this attention on President Trump is designed to deflect attention away from the Democrats' own problems.
I mean, we know, too, she fled after he was briefed. So I think the caller's onto something there. Certainly, he was made aware, and something could have occurred. But it didn't happen. She didn't leave until he found out about it. So think about that. And think about the fact that he's got access to the most classified information in our country. Now we come back, ACLJ's new senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State, former director of the CIA, and Congressman Mike Pompeo will be joining us live. Second time this week, and really the first time since the announcement, which we focused on a lot of these issues. We're going to talk Iran with him. You don't want to miss this. Share this with your friends and family as Mike Pompeo is about to join us live here on Sekulow. And if you've got questions, call us 1-800-684-3110. We will get to in the final segment of the broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110. Because the Obama administration, Biden administration, I said Obama, but it is very similar because the same people. It's Jen Psaki again. It's the same. Who are against opening their arms to Iran. Please, Iran, if you'll do this and that, we'll come right back to the table. We'll relieve the sanctions. The money will start flowing back to you. So we're talking about that with Mike Pompeo. We come back. Share this with your friends and family on Facebook, on YouTube. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. And as always, check out ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We are, again, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
We're waiting for former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to join us. Before he does, I want to switch gears on what we're talking about here. Are we going to relaunch on Facebook, by the way, Will? Okay, so we're if you're on Facebook, we're relaunching. We have an issue we want to clear up, so we're going to relaunch. So just look for us again in just a moment. But I'm going to keep talking for a radio audience, obviously. And that is this. Iran is also, we've been talking about China. We've also got a Freedom of Information Act request out on Iran. Why? Because apparently John Kerry, Robert Malley, and others were in conversations with the Iranians while we were, in fact, a different administration was in place. This is during President Trump's, the 45th President of the United States, term of office. Not during transition, while he was actually, Jordan, in office, setting forth foreign policy.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, this is, again, one of the issues that we have seen time and time again with these Democrat administrations, as they have come in, and they will completely undermine the incoming administration. So we saw it on the front end of the Trump administration and then the back end of the Trump administration. So the front end of the Trump administration, they're trying to take out before he's even started, President Trump. On the back end, they are already violating the rules that they've tried to apply to people like, I mean, Mike Flynn was all of that. Remember, it was Joe Biden himself in the room who said, "What about that Logan Act? Can't we use that against Mike Flynn?" I mean, that's what John Kerry, technically, I think that law is bogus, but that would be what John Kerry was violating.
I think we have Mike Pompeo joining us right now. So joining us on the phone, and we're thrilled to have him as part of the team here at the ACLJ, is the former Secretary of State, who is also Senior Counsel for Global Affairs here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Secretary Pompeo, thanks for being with us. Let me go right to the heart of this situation with Iran. This has happened since we were together earlier this week, and that is reports coming out that Robert Malley and Secretary Kerry were in conversations with Iranian officials while you were serving as Secretary of State.
Jay, it's the dangest thing. I don't know about Malley, but I know for sure this did happen with Secretary Kerry. You know, it's deeply un-American to undermine President Trump and the efforts that we were doing on behalf of the American people that elected him. They were either trying to keep their deal alive or trying to convince the Iranians not to negotiate with us. I don't know precisely, but it's completely inappropriate. It's tragic. It's not the right thing to do, and I regret it. And And now it looks like they're headed down a path of appeasement of the Iranians as well. That's probably even worse.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to ask, and that is there's the language coming out of Jen Psaki about, and I don't know if we have this bite. Do we have the bite, Will? Let's play this bite and get the Secretary's comments on it. And this is basically setting up that the Biden administration is willing to go back to the table. This is after the success of the crippling sanctions were put in place. But then there's this hesitation. Let's go ahead and play it.
On Iran, the president opted for diplomacy. But there's worries in the region and Europe as well that the ballistic missile development and Iran's interference in the region might not be addressed or linked to the nuclear file. Can you assure us that actually this is the case? Because there are worries that actually you're very eager to secure a deal and you're going to leave this behind like it happened in 2015.
Well, first, the president's Iran is a long way from compliance, as you well know, from covering this issue quite closely. And the president has been clear that if Iran comes back into full compliance with its obligations, we will do the same. And, of course, then use that as a platform to build a longer and stronger agreement, including addressing ballistic missiles and many of the concerns that, as you noted, countries in the region, our European partners have about the actions of Iran. But we are not at that point. The point we are at is that the United States has expressed an openness to an invitation to have a diplomatic conversation.
So as the Secretary of State, you are a chief diplomat. So let me ask you this, Mike, and this is what concerns me. They acknowledge that the Iranians are not in compliance, but it's not as if this agreement with the Iranians went away. It was just the U.S., your administration, correctly pulled out of it. So they were not in compliance while the Europeans were engaged in it.
Jay, that's exactly right. You know, when I hear that, oh, if they just come back into compliance, we'll give what he really means when she says they'll come back into compliance. It means we will give them a bunch of money. We'll have business. We'll create wealth for the Ayatollah and his kleptocrats and theocrats that are running the country. It's precisely what we didn't do. They're going to give away all of the leverage we've created, everything that would cause the Iranians to potentially consider working to diminish their missile program or constraining their militias and their terror against Israel and the United States. None of that's going to happen if they accede to the Iranians' demands. I saw, Jay, just one more point. I saw that they now think they're going to try and ask the administration for something near $1 trillion in, quote, reparations, end of quote. That's crazy. The pressure campaign that we put in place was the right course of action. I hope that they'll come to see that that's the only way to get the Iranians to negotiate is through strength and not weakness.
That's the thing, Secretary Pompeo. It's that, you know, you're talking about $1 trillion, reparations, words like reparations used by the Iranians. The money that they are asking for to basically say, if you want us to come back into compliance with your bad nuclear deal, you've got to do this for us. And then the idea that compliance, we never got the inspections we wanted. Even if you liked that deal, which not many of us did, they never were complying with it.
Yes, that's true. And most importantly, what it never did was never could convince the people that fear it most and have to live with it most, our Gulf state partners, the Saudis, the Emiratis, all the Israelis, that this was a deal that could protect and preserve stability in the Middle East. That deal actually created a pathway to a nuclear weapon and to more than that, to a nuclear weapons program. It was never comprehensive. It was never complete. We never got what we needed to ensure that we could keep Americans safe.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that, and that is, the Europeans, though, decided they want to stick in the program. They wanted to stay in the program, and so they did. But now it's, at least the United States government is now saying, under the Biden administration, that the Iranians, I go back to the same point, the Iranians are not in compliance. If they get back into compliance, maybe we'll get back to the table. But you have to ask yourself, and I just want to reiterate this point, Mr. Secretary, and that is, they're not in compliance. They haven't been in compliance. Why do we think they will be in compliance?
Jay, that's a $1 trillion now question. There's no reasonable belief to think that they will come back into complete compliance with all of the requirements that they have. And what we all know, too, is that even if they do, it's insufficient to protect the interests that we have, not only in the region, but to make sure that we keep people safe and secure here at home.
What is the best way... you know, we look at it, as you know, as the ACLJ, you're part of the ACLJ now, as our senior counsel for global affairs. This is a global affair. What should the policy position be right now, and how do we counteract what's going on the Obama administration side of this.
What policy position we had, right?
Second time I've done
the
that
policy
today.
Position, the policy position we had, right? We built out a coalition. You see it in the Abraham Accords, a collective security apparatus that understood the threat from the Iranian regime. You continue to apply pressure. You support the Iranian people. They don't like this leadership either and what it's doing. You support the Iranian people, and you get that policy back to where we were, and ultimately it will force the Iranian regime to come into compliance with a broad range of commitments that actually preserve and protect stability in the Middle East. And what we can all do is we can make sure that elected officials across the board, Democrats and Republicans on the House of Representatives and those in the Senate, all continue to communicate to the administration that appeasement and weakness and going back to this old crappy deal from 2015 is not the right thing for securing American freedom.
Let me ask you the last question. We only got 2 minutes left here, and that is this. I want to give people some hope here, and that is, despite what this administration's predilections may be, which is to try to get back into a deal here, what the American people can do to let it be known that we don't want to go back to where it was. And we know that the Iranian people, as you said, don't like this regime that they have in control either. So how do we get their voices heard while this is going on?
So there's lots of ways to do it. It's the reason that we all need to work so hard now more than ever as part of this organization and others that are working to make sure that we get this policy right. Let your voices be heard. Let those elected officials know. Write letters to the editor. All the things that we do, sign petitions, all the things we do to communicate that we can't go back to where we were with respect to Iran back in 2015.
All right, very good. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, now a senior counsel for the ACLJ in global affairs. Thanks for being with us, Mike. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you all.
Thank you. Than, I want to go quickly to you. What the secretary just said, and we only got a minute in this segment, and then we're opening the phone lines at 1-800-684-3110. But we are on top of this Iran situation. We've already got a Freedom of Information Act letter out. We're going to get to the bottom. I'm sure there'll be litigation. But we need to let the Congress know, too.
We've got to let history be our guide here. If I am Iran right now and I got pallets full of cash from the Obama administration, I'd be asking more from this administration, too. We've got to make the case to the United States Congress that they need to tie the hands of this administration. Quite frankly, we've got a lead from strength that worked for the last 4 years. It will work again if we choose to follow that strategy.
All right, folks, we come back. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. As always, stay up to speed. You can share that again with Mike Pompeo joining us now as Senior Counsel for Global Affairs at the ACLJ. Not just a guest of the broadcast, a member of our team. And that's because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. You can donate today at ACLJ.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Secula, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Catherine has been holding on from South Dakota. Catherine, thanks for holding on because we had Mike Pompeo joining us live by phone. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you. And first of all, thank you for all the work that you do. I've been a member for quite a while and
great.
Listening to you for over years. But anyway, my question is, since Biden played off the cultural thing with the Chinese regarding the re-education camps for Muslims, it seems as though there's a coalition between that, or not a coalition, but a collation between that and the left talking about re-educating the people that don't believe the way they do as far as the conservative groups are concerned. Is that a way of softening that possibility in our country?
It's the cancellation. I mean, Harry, it's our director of policy here, Professor Hutchinson, it's the cancellation culture.
Absolutely. It's all part of a re-education program, and I would like to call it an indoctrination program. In other words, deprive the American people of hearing from alternative voices. In other words, the government ensures that there is only one voice, a left-wing voice. And it's very, very important for the American people to know that a willing collaborator with the Democrats' effort to eliminate conservative media, a willing collaborator simply is corporations. Many of these corporations refuse to take a stance in favor of the First Amendment. They refuse to take a stance in favor of the United States Constitution. And I think it's very, very important for the American people to be engaged, because what the Democrats are pushing essentially is a one-party government, and you would only hear one voice. This is indistinguishable, I think, in principle, from what went on during the Soviet era.
I mean, I think this is the entire problem when we're facing China, is that I think you just said it's made in Moscow is never an issue. You know, like Russian goods were not a thing in the United States. We became reliant on a weak China that was a massive amount of people. We utilized their market. But we also, by doing that, we brought up we put in place to a greater extent and gave more power to that Chinese Communist power party, which has utilized the power it's received to basically, it's become a dictatorship. I mean, Xi Jinping has been there for, you know, 15, 20 years, 15 years now,
yeah.
There 10 years, a decade. And, you know, but it's a very easy transition of power because you've got this core group of people. Even joining the party is hard to do there. So saying that you want to be part of the Chinese Communist Party, you don't just, fly your hammer and sickle. It's a power structure. It's like joining a board of a business.
Yeah.
And to be part of that now is to be wealthy. And so they have something to protect. The military is a real threat with real money to spend. The industry that we built there is now being used against us in that classic, kind of a classic story. But we've all got to realize that you got to cut off those relationships. And to do that, it's going to take a lot of education, because businesses aren't going to do that unless you force them to.
No, I think that's right. And the concern that I have both with China and Iran right now, from the Washington standpoint, then, is I don't see, I mean, I see that they have concern, you know, Republicans have concern over the Eric Swalwell issue, which is a microcosm, if you will, of what the bigger issue is, which is Chinese influence. The influence of the Chinese in the United States, in our government, in our economy, in our local communities, is much more significant from the Chinese Communist Party than we've ever imagined. And now the question is, you've got Biden basically saying, well, that's their culture. I want to hear what the other leaders of the Democratic Party have to say about this.
Yeah, so do I, Jay. I mean, look, when it comes to China specifically, there's just no doubt that the economic hurdles that Jordan has talked about, I mean, they're a real factor. They have infiltrated decision-making in Washington, D.C. That's what made the designation of genocide of the Uyghurs so significant in the final days of the Trump administration. Jay, here's the way I look at it. We look at the rest of the world and we say, how in the world can you not condemn the Chinese government for the genocide that's going on, for the intellectual property theft? Jay, that's never going to happen unless the United United States leads the way. It's just the way that works. We're the other economic superpower of the world. And the Trump administration took that significant stride at the end. But Jay, if this administration starts to roll it back, there's no way that we can look at the rest of the world and ask them to lead. It's not the way it works. The United States has to go first.
Yeah, but I think it's you look at right now, kind of where we are politically. Massive issues in New York facing, you know, their governor there. Doesn't get reported by two-thirds of the media. And at the same time, members of Congress are putting forward hosting hearings yesterday on taking the one-third of the media that does talk about the scandals plaguing the governor of New York, not just in his personal life, but also the 1,000-plus people who died because of his decisions as governor, as a leader of the state, to put people with COVID back into nursing homes. But the third of the media that is talking about it, Democrats are bold enough. They outright tell you they want it canceled. They went to all the cable companies and said, how dare you? How can you even justify Fox News or Newsmax or OAN? Are you going to break your contract now or at least not renew it? If not, why not? You know, I mean, this is where we are. We are steps away from this information not even being available. And that would be just like what happens in China, just like what happens in these countries we criticize, just like what happens when your president starts saying, well, that's just the way they do things in China. They just do genocide. Because if they're not united,
would have been if Donald Trump had said that.
If they're not united, they're victimized.
I mean, can you imagine?
Don't we want China to fall apart? Wouldn't that be the American dream, is that the Chinese Communist Party has a mat, it falls apart, the country goes into chaos, the people protest in the streets? That would be a good thing for America. I mean, a complete dissolution of the government there without us having to do anything, not causing, you know, American bloodshed. Or harm to the American economy. Just they fall apart as its structure. But instead, we're saying, nope, they got to do some genocide to stay united.
No, you understand that's not us paraphrasing it. He said it's their culture. They feel like they're attacked when they're by themselves, Harry. So they have to do these things in order to stay in existence. And Joe Biden's acting like that's okay.
Absolutely. And he is unwilling to do anything. I think it's very important to note that the American people, particularly as consumers, have inadvertently subsidized the rise of the Chinese Communist Party. Now the Chinese Communist Party is prepared to take over Hong Kong. That's in process. Ultimately, they seek to take control of the Democratic Party. They've already taken control, or at least their major influence with respect to the National Basketball Association. And major U.S. corporations, including major U.S. media companies, to some extent, are highly influenced by China. This is a very dangerous situation for the American people, and I think the American people need to rise up and understand fully the threat posed by the Chinese Communist Party.
And the question is, will we? Certainly, our government's not going to do it for us. Not this administration, but we have to start pointing out the real threats that they pose. And I think by bringing on, by having Rick Grenell on our team, by having Mike Pompeo on the team at the ACLJ, we're going to be able to do that at a level that you can't do without those kind of individuals. And we have those kind of individuals on the ACLJ team because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. Continue to support us financially at ACLJ.org. It's how we can bring on Mike Pompeo as a member of our staff. It's how we can bring on Rick Grenell as a member of our staff. Because of your support, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.